All right, friends, this morning in the life of the church, we celebrate All Saints Day. All Saints Day actually happens on November 1st. It's the day after All Hallows or All Saints Eve, which is probably a more well-known holiday because there's more candy involved. But I want to begin just a little bit by talking about what All Saints Day is. Maybe this is an old hat for you. You know, you're very familiar with it. Maybe it's your first time kind of hearing about it, but I want to unpack it a little bit. In the church, this has been a celebration since around the 4th century, and it's a day that the church sets aside to honor the faithful who are living and who have passed away, and especially to lift up the martyrs and all those who have made a path or a way for the church to continue to exist in the world. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and I think I put these two quotes in the book that you received when you came in, said that he was very fond of All Saints Day. He called it a festival that I truly love, and that he always found it a comfortable day, which is a little bit interesting to me because we tend to celebrate those who may have passed away on this day. In some traditions, this is a day where we celebrate the named saints. So those are the people that you think of, St. Paul, Mother Teresa, folks like that who are sort of what we might call the faith giants. In Methodism, we do remember those people who have been recognized as saints in whatever form or fashion, but we tend to think more about the people in our own lives who have had a direct, indelible impact on who we are, the people who are saints to us, and those who have encouraged our faith or invited us to find out a little bit more about ourselves, live into ourselves as God has intended us to be, who cared for us in a past time or who currently care for our spiritual life and well-being and help us connect to God and find purpose as we serve God's world. Saints can be living, as we'll see in the scripture that we'll read here in just a few moments, but often on this particular day, we name and we celebrate the saints in our lives who have passed away, who have gone into God's full presence. We call these the church triumphant or the great cloud of witnesses. So maybe this day you're also inclined to think especially of a loved one who's died in the last year. That's often what this day provides, is an opportunity for us to name and remember and recall those who we have lost recently, maybe those for whom this day feels more like a wound and less like a scar. It's a reminder of somebody who has recently been lost. Maybe it's a family member or a friend or a teacher or a mentor. Maybe it's somebody who died decades ago. But I would just invite you to sort of think about those who have helped you understand the world a bit more clearly and modeled for you what it was to be a person of faith. Maybe you want to think of somebody who influenced your name or the name of a child. My middle name is Edwin, named after my grandfather on my dad's side. And oftentimes we think of those saints, those people, if there's somebody like that in your life or someone who you named your child after, we think of them as saints. And that's part of what that sort of represents. So who are the saints that come to your mind this day? Now, I ask that same question every single year on this day, this first Sunday in November. This year, I want to dive a little bit deeper and get a little bit more specific. I want you to think of one particular person. So maybe you've got a few faces going through your mind. I want you to think of one person. It could be a loved one or a friend you've lost recently. It could be somebody that you knew years ago. Maybe it was somebody in your childhood who helped provide a sense of stability or perhaps a positive mirror who spoke things into you that you didn't see in yourself. But I want you to think of one specific person. And then I want to get even a little bit more specific than that. I want you to think about one moment, one particular interaction, one memory, one conversation, one scene with them that sticks with you all this time later. Over these next few weeks, I want us, in the midst of the year of the story, to be better at telling our own stories. And so our messages will be a little bit more interactive. If you heard that and were hoping for an open mic, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. But you are going to get a chance to share a part of your story with other folks. And what we're doing is we're talking about the voices that have spoken into our lives, that have helped form us and shape us into the people that we are today. And we're also talking about how we use our own voices to share a part of our story. And so that's what we're going to do this week and the next 2 weeks. Friday night in this room, there was the Parenting with Mental Health in Mind Summit that happened. It was a really great conversation, and people gathered, and there was excellent presenters. Pastor Nanette was one of those who spoke, and I was talking to her before the event, and she said, one of the things that I'm learning as she was doing research and preparing for this is just how terrible the church is at being a safe place where people are encouraged to tell their stories. And she said over and over again, as I'm looking at this research, what I'm finding is that we don't create a space where people not only feel compelled to share, but even feel comfortable bringing who they are. And particularly in light of the mental health challenges that we experience in our world now, churches too often want people to sort of push parts of their story to the side. And in some ways, I hope that this year is a little bit of an antidote to that, that we together are learning to tell our stories, to bring ourselves into this walk, that we can bring our questions and our triumphs. And I want us to get better at sharing who we are and about receiving that in community. So I want you to think about that one person, and I want you to think about one particular scene that had meaning. Perhaps it was some last moment where they offered wisdom or blessing to you. Or maybe it was something that just they modeled for you. Maybe they didn't say a word, you just saw it. And for whatever reason, their actions have left an indelible impression in your life. Maybe it was the moment when you knew that you looked up to this person. Or perhaps they defined for you what it meant to be a part of their family or their tribe or a person of faith or a person of integrity. It could be a moment that felt very uncharacteristic for who they were, or maybe it was radically consistent with the way he or she lived her life every single day. I want you to think about that person. I want you to think about that scene and narrow it down just to one of each. And then I want you to sort of put yourself in that place. What room were you in? Where did it happen? What was the context? What was the weather like outside? What did it smell like? What did they say or do? What did they offer to you? And maybe ask yourself why that scene, that memory comes to mind this day. Why do you remember it so much later? What ripple effects did it have in your life? So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to reflect on that. You should have received a little booklet as you walked in. I think we're on page 4 of this. There you can find a space. If I would encourage you to write if you feel like writing, to draw the scene if you feel like drawing it. If you want to just sit and think, that's absolutely okay. There's pens available on the back table. Sorry those weren't there when many of you walked in. But I want to give you 3 minutes just to write and reflect and think. And I do just want to give you a word of warning. I am going to ask you to share this in a few minutes. So not a good time to make a shopping list. But I won't be checking your work. So let's do that for 3 minutes, and then we'll come back together. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be reading from Ephesians 1 this morning, and this is one of the traditional readings in the church's calendar where we for this particular Sunday, and it's a bit long. And so, again, as I said earlier, I would invite you to follow along on your phone or in a Bible. We're going to begin at verse 11, so Ephesians 1, 11, and I want to read just the first part of that. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption, toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of His glory. So in this first section, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of inheritance, and it connects so well with what we talked about last week. Remember, we talked about the rich ruler who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And part of what we said is that you can't do anything to inherit something. It's a gift because of who you are or whose you are. And in fact, we said that just before that reading, Jesus says, "Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you might miss it." And I think that we just sort of build on that, that you and I, this week, the scripture says that we have obtained an inheritance. The church at Ephesus, all the way to the disciples, the followers of Jesus, we've received this gift because of Christ's work. It's simply a gift, and all we're asked to do is to receive it. The power of God at work is so strong that all we simply have to do is like children, to receive it and to allow it to work through us. The confirmation of this gift, the scripture says, is that we are marked by, that we are accompanied by throughout our lives, the Holy Spirit. And all of this has been done on God's volition, not on ours, not because of anything we've done to earn it, anything particularly holy or wonderful about us. We do it and are invited to respond, to live to the glory of God. And so I want to pick up just the next two verses as we kind of continue through this. 15 and 16, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all of the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks to you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, we'll come back to that. Sorry. The prayer is part three. So here we get this introduction to this idea of saints, and I made reference to this earlier. I want to unpack what a New Testament understanding of saint is, because I think it's different than how we often think about it. The writer of Ephesians, who we often attribute to Paul, says, I give thanks because I've heard of all of your love for all of the saints, and pray that the people would have wisdom and revelation so that they may come to know God and perceive God's glorious inheritance for them among the saints. Now, saints is the most common way to refer to followers of Jesus in the New Testament. All followers of Jesus, those who are alive, those who have passed away, those in the particular communities that are being written to, those around them, the people who follow Jesus are most commonly called saints in the New Testament. And they are considered ones who are holy, who are set apart, who are consecrated by God through the work in Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that means that all of us are considered saints. And the word here is hagios. And I don't know if that feels like a compliment to you, but so far as the New Testament is concerned, you are a hagios. And sometimes we think of saints as being somebody totally different, totally set apart, far holier than we are, somebody who doesn't have the same hang-ups and habits and hiccups that we have in our lives. But as far as the scripture is concerned, you have that title, just like anybody who may come to your mind when we walk in on All Saints Day. They, just like you, have received the same title, the same power, the same gift, not because of their holiness, not because of their work, not because of their worthiness or character or performance. They received it, as Ephesians says, in Christ, as it was destined by God's work. It was accomplished according to the good pleasure of God's will. You're a hagios. Those that you remember this day are a hagios because of what Jesus has done. And so whether we're talking about a named saint, a celebrated saint, or somebody that you know only in your lives, we all share the same title, the same designation of being set apart on purpose by God's power for work in the world. And what we remember then this day is that oftentimes the reason that particular faces and names come to our mind is because we can remember moments where they best embodied that power of God at work in them. So now, verse 17 through 22, and this all is sort of the beginning of a prayer that's prayed over the church at Ephesus and I believe over us. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly place, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In this prayer, in this blessing, what is included is this this reference to an inheritance for us who are called saints. The author prays that we would grow in our understanding of God's glorious riches and understand the greatness of God, the one in whom we believe. So the inheritance is part of God's power at work in us. And the hope and prayer is that we would come to recognize it and that we would allow God to move in and through us. And so for the writer, because of the work of God, God continues to lead us. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just what happened in Christ Jesus that raised him from the dead into the heavenly throne, but it's something that God intends for all of us to do. And so I want to ask what it would look like if we believed that we had the power of God working within us, and if we lived that way, if we actually believed that the power of God was within us, that God was moving through us, how would we live differently? What would it look like if we realized that we have the agency and the possibility and even the calling to make an impact in the world like the saints that we celebrate today? What if we recognize, not because of our own merit or striving or our own performance or how good we are, but because of God's work in Jesus, that we have been called and claimed and set apart for good and beautiful things in the world? What if we received those promises like a child receives? We get a glimpse of this and what it looks like in real life in the very real and faulty human lives that we celebrate this day. And the dearly beloved and those that we hardly knew who allowed God to work through them, we get a picture, not a perfect picture, but a picture of what this looks like day to day. And so once you think back to that scene, maybe that scene was an embodiment of that. Maybe it was a thing that they imparted upon you. The impact that they left on you was a way of helping make the world more like God's kingdom. And like the inheritance, the gift of God, I'm going to guess that whatever happened in that scene that you're remembering this morning, it wasn't by your volition, it wasn't by your scheming, it wasn't by your work. Instead, it was a gift that came from the person that you're thinking of this day. It came out of their agency, not yours. You were invited to receive it, but you couldn't have done anything to earn that particular moment. So I want to go back to that scene. And again, as we're going through this year of the story, I want us to get better at telling our stories. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to find two other people, and you're only going to have 4 minutes, so you just have a little over a minute each. And I want you to share a little bit about that scene and who the person was and what impact it made in your life. And I know that this may feel very vulnerable and uncomfortable and way out of your comfort zone, and that's okay. I'm not even going to make the people that you share with be strangers, although you do have to have two. So if it feels uncomfortable to share, here's what I want to invite you to remember. I want you to remember that person and the blessing that they were in your life and the blessing that that scene was. And I'm going to guess that even if it feels uncomfortable, if you share that, that might in fact be a blessing to somebody else. And I want you to think that perhaps they will receive that in ways that you couldn't anticipate, and perhaps it will bless them in ways that you couldn't have imagined. So you've got 4 minutes to find two people and to share, and then we'll come back together and wrap up this message. Thank you. All right. As we prepare to wrap up, there's two really beautiful parts of this scripture that I just want to draw our attention to. The first one is to recognize that the author of Ephesians is writing to the church at Ephesus, which is a group of people that were known as Gentiles. So they were a group that was on the outside. They were not included. And so in Jewish tradition, there was us, who was the Jewish nation, and there was them, which was everybody else. And some Gentiles were better than other Gentiles by groups or by individuals. But the bottom line was the Jewish group was a family, and the rest, the Gentiles, weren't in it. And one of the scandalous messages of the work of Jesus is through his life and death and resurrection, the outsider now is considered an insider, and them now have a part of us, not because of what they did and not because of what we did, but because of what God did. And now all of a sudden, those Gentiles, those Ephesians, those people out there now have a seat at the table. They're included. They get a portion and a part of this glorious inheritance. And part of the abundance of God is the promise that as more people get that, there's not less, but there is actually more, because that's how God works and that's God's amazing power. And so the writer is trying to tell his audience over and over that they've now been given a share, that they've been appointed by God's work, that there's a seat at the table for them. And friends, there's a seat at the table for us. As I was thinking about saints in my life this week, I thought that that may be a pretty good description of oftentimes what they've done. They made a place for me. They made sure there was a seat for me. They received me as I was, and they loved me as I was, and they helped propel me into the best of who I would become. I think of my grandma, who would always make sure there was a special seat for each of us at the table, that we knew there would always be a place for them. I think of my Sunday school teachers and early faith teachers who put up with my incessant questions and allowed me to build a foundation so that I could discover my call. That's often what people do, is they look at us, and knowing who we are, they make a place for us that we may experience grace and mercy. And so this day we come to remember the work of God in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit that confirms the promise that we have a seat at God's table and we have a job and a role in God's eternal plan and promise to the world. And it's not because of anything that we've done. It's not because of anything that the saints we remember this day that they were included. Instead, it's all by God's power. And we get to share in that power and invite others into that very present kingdom. And so we get to remember, as the passage says, that God gives us a spirit of wisdom, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, that we may perceive the hope to which we are called. This day we come to remember those beloved saints who have gone on to the church triumphant, who have loved us into our best selves, who have witnessed to a faith that helps us understand ourselves and our place in the world, those who out of the deep reservoirs of their life and their experiences shared with us that we may more wholly and fully live through our own experiences. I think about the imperfect reflection they are of the gift that God offers to us and how they help us learn to simply receive God's goodness. As we come to remember some who are dearly beloved and live now in eternity, here is a final hope from our scripture that we cannot miss, and I want us to remember this. A part of the promise of the power of God and work is in Jesus, in the power that resurrects Jesus from the dead. This is the last part of our reading, is that we have an inheritance of that power. That same work, that same power that works through Jesus is the same power that works in you and I. And what we get is this reminder of this bridge that there are people who move on into God's full presence that we can't see anymore. The promise is that they are under the same God and that in some way that we cannot fully articulate, we are still connected. And we get to trust that the same God who is over every power and dominion in this world is also over all in the age to come. And so this day, even if we come perhaps a bit heavy with the memories and those who we celebrate this day, we don't come without hope and without a promise. We come to name and remember. We also come to celebrate. We can grieve and also have gratitude, not only as we honor those who lived and who impacted us, but as we celebrate the fact that they live now in God's full presence. So even if this day is a bit heavy, I would invite you to remember the hope and the promise that the same God who works in you and I is the God who worked in those saints in their day, in their time, is the God that they know fully now on into eternity. One of the ways that traditionally the church celebrates this day is by the lighting of candles. And so I'm going to invite you to do that right now. You can come forward on all around this table and light candles. If you want to use the longer ones to light any of the shorter ones, however feels comfortable for you. But I also want to encourage you to do this. If you feel comfortable, as you light that candle in honor or memory of someone, would you just say their name out loud? And my hope and prayer is that this is a blessing for you, and perhaps you want to say a prayer silently and trust that as you celebrate this memory, their light and their life continues to live through the impact that they've made in you. I'll invite you to come forward. This time is yours.